Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus began to reproach the towns where most of his mighty deeds had been done, since they had not repented. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! If the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And as for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will go down to the netherworld. For if the mighty deeds had been done in your midst had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom than for you on the day of judgment. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
At the end of yesterday's Gospel, St. Matthew told us, when Jesus had finished giving the instructions to the 12 disciples, he went away to teach and preach in their towns. He began to go do exactly what he instructed them to do. He went to preach the kingdom of God, went to cure the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead. He came to wish people his peace. He came precisely to enflesh the gospel in their lives. But as we were talking about yesterday, it was all going to be tested with regard to how people would welcome his word and him. That those who were receiving him were receiving the God who sent him. And so today in the gospel, we hear about three different towns that superficially had very, very much received Jesus. Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. Capernaum, Jesus had worked extraordinary miracles. We see it. It was even called his town. He used to cure people at the door of Peter's house for as long as that long procession would take. He had fed the multitudes there. He had preached some of his most extraordinary homilies there, in the midst of which he would say to people with withered hands, stretch out your hand, in the middle of the synagogue. He would cast out demons in the middle of the synagogue. Bethsaida was Peter and Andrew's place. St. John, at the very end of his gospel, says that even if he had all the libraries in the world, it wouldn't be able to contain all that Jesus had done. We don't have recorded miracles in Bethsaida and Chorazin in the Gospel. But St. Matthew tells us that this was where most of his mighty deeds had been done. So there are extraordinary miracles similar to these. And so there was, at some level, a superficial receptivity. They didn't reject Jesus. They weren't like the people in the Decapolis, Dalmanutha, who as soon as Jesus had cured the man who had been possessed by many demons and sent them into the pigs, asked him to get out of there. They wanted him there. And they were bringing more and more people to him. But at a deep level, they really hadn't received Jesus the way he wanted to be received. He wanted them to receive him in such a way that they would be, from that point forward, living a new life with him. They were content to allow him to work his extraordinary miracles, but they weren't prepared to allow him to work the greatest miracle of all, the miracle to which all those other signs pointed, just the moral miracle of their conversion and pursuit of holiness. So that's where we meet it. This word woe in the Greek doesn't mean anger so much as it means pity. How crushed Jesus was, how disappointed he was, that after all of his work, his preaching, his body language, all the power he had shown there, they just hadn't changed. They hadn't really received his message. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. And then he cites the two Phoenician towns, which by this point for several centuries had had a reputation of great debauchery. The Las Vegas and the Amsterdam, we could say, of their day. Tremendous debauchery. Jesus said, if what I have done among you was done there, they would long ago have repented in sackcloth and ashes. They would have recognized what this meant. But you kind of take it for granted. How crushed I am on this account. Because I came for your salvation, not to put on a show. And he says, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. To whom more is given, more is to be expected. And I have given you more than any, in order that you might be able to bear more fruit. Then he turns to Capernaum, rhetorically at the very end, which is a place in which we have recorded many of his miracles. People were saying, doubtless at the time, how lucky Capernaum was to have Jesus Christ there so often. Will he be exalted to heaven? He asks. No, you will go down to the netherworld. For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. Sodom would have converted. Sodom, which has the worst reputation for inhospitality in all of recorded history, trying literally to sodomize angels sent by God to Lot's house. If even that town with the worst reputation for inhospitality of all time had received this, it would have converted. But you have not. And it will be more tolerable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. These are really powerful words that we have to talk about. And we can receive them in two ways. The first is it can scare us. Because the mighty deeds Jesus does in New York or in Suffern are so much greater than what he did in Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. But if we really received him at the depth with which he wants to be received, have we truly repented? Have we changed our ways to live full time according to the Holy Gospel? Or are we still basically as we were? And more than just our flesh, is our spirit basically what it was? As if Jesus has just come to tweak us a little bit rather than bring about a profound revolution. It's the first way we can receive it. I don't think it's the healthiest way to receive it, because it's a way that would be received with what the church would call imperfect contrition, for the most part. That the change would come about lest we be treated worse, not just than Tyre, Sidon, and Sodom, not even just worse than Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, but worst of all, because we have received so much more. That's not the most productive way to look at this. Most productive way is with perfect contrition. When the Lord pours out his heart and says, woe, he's talking about the extraordinary gift. And when we care about that heart, when we love that heart, we want to give the Lord what that heart longs for, which is that we open ourselves up to receive the gift of his mercy. He's not asking us to repent all on our own power. He wants to give us everything He knows we need so that we can become those persons He came in the world not just to heal, but to send out with His own healing power to bring everybody else into His kingdom. That's the way the Lord wants us to respond. To say, okay, what have I been waiting for? The Lord's done everything, not so that I could be good. The Lord's done everything so that I could become holy, truly more and more like Him. And He continues to do the most wondrous things imaginable, preaches to me every day, feeds me with His very self, promising to hear every prayer I make and present it to the Father. That's what this is all about, and how much He wants to see us fully turn to Him and fully turn with Him, what it means to convert. That's the healthy way to respond, because not even all the libraries in the solar system would be able to contain all the mighty deeds that Jesus does in each of our lives, and they're all with a purpose. Today's a wake-up call for us to focus on that purpose. But how is our heart going to respond to this appeal today? Our gospel verse, as we heard, was, if today you hear the Lord's voice, not harden your ears to it. Don't harden your heart to it. Don't close your will to what God wants. But listen and the core of your being and let it change you. I've got an example of somebody who listens with a hardened heart in today's first reading. God sent Isaiah to King Ahaz of Judah. Remember, Judah was in the south of the Holy Land, and it starts to describe how the other kings were uniting against the king of Assyria. So Rezin, the king of Aram, and Pekah, the king of Israel, went up to attack Jerusalem. So the kingdom of the north, kingdom more or less in the central region, they're what we would now call Samaria, had come to attack Jerusalem. And Ahaz was afraid. They wanted the kingdom of Judah, with its capital in Jerusalem, to join them in alliance against the king of Assyria. And when he refused to do so, they were going to attack so that at least the Jews would join them once they had conquered Jerusalem. But Ahaz was afraid. He was thinking about joining an alliance with Assyria, that enemy, in order to defeat these other kingdoms. But that's when Isaiah, who had come from the north, sent to the south by God, appealed to Ahaz. And he said, don't join. Don't be afraid. Stay the course. Don't get into an alliance either with the two or with Assyria, because the Lord is with you. Should have been really consoling words. We know from elsewhere in the text that he had a lot of false prophets saying other things. So at the very end, he formed the alliance with Assyria. Assyria came in and destroyed Aram and Israel. But eventually, King Ahaz had to go all the way up to the capital of Assyria, bow down before the king and worship his gods. And Assyria would eventually likewise lead to the destruction of Judah through the Babylonians who would come. He turned a hardened heart to the message of the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah said to Ahaz at the end something that's important for us always to hear. Unless your faith is firm, you shall not be firm. if you're going to be courageous at all in anything, you have to have a firm faith, he's saying. And the reason why you are tottering like the wind, like these trees blown in a storm, is precisely because your faith is weak. You don't realize that God is with you. You're not turning to the Lord and following His advice. And that's why you are such a coward before Aram, before Israel, and before Assyria. Unless your faith is firm, you will not be firm. And so, Jesus wants to strengthen our faith so that we might indeed be firm. At the very beginning of this Mass, as you remember, we prayed, graciously increase the faith of those consecrated to you, so that we might be firm in the midst of this world and show a witness of what it means to receive Jesus and His message well, and totally convert, so that we might become His greatest signs. We might become His greatest works in the midst of a generation that will be held to higher account in Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. Today, as we come forward to this Mass, Jesus is speaking to us. He's pouring out His heart about what He wishes to happen in and through us. He comes to proclaim His kingdom. He comes to give us His peace. He comes to cure us of all our illnesses. And He comes to do so much greater than that. But we've got to receive Him with faith, so that He, through that faith, can strengthen us to go out and bring the world to hear and receive Him, so that on the day of judgment, it won't be more tolerable for Tyre, Sidon, and Sodom, but on the day of judgment, there will be great rejoicing in the celestial Jerusalem. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.